Let's turn once again to the book of Ephesians. We are in Ephesians 6, the last chapter of Ephesians, as we've been going through this verse by verse. And in the last couple weeks, we've talked about husbands and wives, and maybe your spouse kind of elbowed you in at some point and said, you should listen. Well, I think this one today, we all can listen. After all, we are all at some point, we are in some way, we are all children. And so this is very fitting for us to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Follow along with me as I read aloud. This is God's holy, authoritative, inspired, and infallible word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Thus ends reading God's word, and may he bless it unto us. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this passage. If you're someone who wants to take some notes, I'll do my best to help you in that. And you'll notice the title of our message is entitled To Children and Parents. And so that's going to be our two points this morning. I'll give you a heads up on that. We're going to address, we're going to look at the instructions to children, and then secondly, to parents. And so I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this passage. Let's go to our Lord and let's ask for his blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your word, that it is living and active. And Lord, each one of us here, regardless of age, regardless of status, each one of us needs your word in our lives. And so we ask, Lord, that you would pierce our consciences. Lord, that you would open up our hearts. Oh Lord, that we would be receptive to these words, and that we would be blessed by them. Oh Lord, may your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We ask this in Jesus' name, and let us say, Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I think many of us would agree that the family is under attack. The family is under attack. Now, in the last couple of weeks, we've looked at husbands and wives, and as we look at the divorce rate, as we look at marriages crumbling, we could say, yes, the family is very much under attack, but our children are not safe either. After all, their lives are destroyed as well. When families fall apart, it's often children. We might say children are often the victims. But I also want to offer to you something that will sound a little puzzling at first, but allow me to explain, is that sometimes children can be the cause of that crumbling too. Now, I'm saying our children are awful. That's not what I mean. But we are living in a world today now where we are dealing with kids who are making choices about their bodies. We are dealing with children, teenagers who are seeking independence from their family. We are having children who are involved in rebellion. We have continually seen our families suffer and our children in a state of disagreement, of disrespect, not only to their parents, but ultimately to God. And so as we think about these verses 1 through 4 of chapter 6, I offer to you a simple question is, well, what do we need? Well, obviously, we all need Jesus. That's the first and foremost. But what we need in our world today is real families. Real families. We don't need, we want fathers and mothers involved with their children. We don't need children that are raised by schools or by the internet or by TV or anything else. We need moms and dads to be real parents. And we need our children to be the children that God has called them. Now, as we think about this, this situation, we recognize that there are some married couples who can't have children for a variety of reasons. So we should be careful. We should never say to them that there's something wrong with them. We should be sympathetic. We should support them. But think about the family structure. We have married people who have chosen not to have children. They simply look at children as being burdens and not blessings. So what a privilege we have to have to have our children, or to be a child, and since you are all here. But with that privilege also comes responsibilities. And that's where we're lacking. And that's where Paul addresses us here in chapter 6. Gives us some responsibilities from both sides, for children and for parents. He gives us a picture of what a Christ-centered home looks like. Now, on the offset, there's an important principle that we need to remember. We need to remember, regardless of whether we are children here, parents, whether we are church leaders, or whether we're simply friends. One of the principles we have learned in this section that Paul is teaching here is that we should never express the obligation to obedience without stressing the motivation of grace. I want to say that one more time. Paul teaches us here that we should never express the obligation to obedience without stressing the motivation of grace. In other words, why do we ask children to obey? Why do we ask fathers not to exasperate their children? It's because of the grace that we know that motivates us, the grace that's offered to us in Christ. Now, that we see here in chapter 5 and into chapter 6 about this directions for husbands and wives and children and parents, and then, Lord willing, next week, bond servants and masters. That was very common in this time period. That was a very common way to address households. It was usually in that order. So Paul's not doing anything different here. So what does Paul say about children? What does Paul say about parents? Let's look at this passage together. The first instructions is to children. Is to children, we see that in verses 1 through 3. Follow along with me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. There's something I want to say here regarding this passage. And Paul gives us some very important insight that we do not want to overlook. And that is simply this. Did you notice that he addresses children? He addresses children. They're part of the church too. And so therefore God's word is for them too. Every sermon is for them too. And that's why our children should be present with us. That's why we sit together as families. We sit together as a congregation. It's because this is for our children too. Paul didn't say to them, I'm going to write to husbands and wives. And oh, by the way, this letter should be read to you while your children are over in children's church. Now, there's people might disagree with me there regarding that. But I truly believe that our children should be here so they can hear God's word. They can learn how to worship with their families. They can see what we are doing. Paul addresses children. That's something we don't want to just overlook here. They're part of the church too. So what does Paul say to our children? First of all, he gives them an obligation. Here's your obligation. Obey your parents. One commentator said this, is that this verb is strong, but it is not harsh. I think there's something very valuable there. This is a very strong verb, but it's not a harsh verb. It means to listen. It means to submit. It means to sit under someone. It is about listening to what is being said. Obey your parents. And we have far too many parents who treat their children like they're their best friend instead of being their parent. We have far too many people who, parents who simply allow their children to just do whatever they want to do. They struggle to say no. Children struggle to listen. They don't rule the roost. I often, when I think of this destruction of the family, I point some of that to television shows that were very popular in the 80s. The first one I always think of is The Cosby Show. Mom is the smart one, Dad's the bumbling moron, and the kids know better than all both of them. And that's that formula that continues in other TV shows. You might know those TV shows. You might watch those TV shows. It's that formula that we see so often. Children simply going, I can go above and beyond what my parents tell me. I know what's best for me. But you notice, there is something to be said here. They're to obey their parents. Children, your loving obedience to your parents might be used by God for that very reason, so other families go, what makes you so different? Why is your family so close? Parents care. They want to show you how to live and act. Kids, I know it's hard to believe as you look around here, but every person in here was a kid once. Some of you, I don't want to uncover your past, by no means. But each one of us were kids. We know what it takes to live. We know what it takes to grow up. We have faced similar opportunities and similar dangers. And we are, your parents are here to help you navigate through life. They love you. And they want to see you be who God has called you to be. And so this is an obligation here. Obey your parents. But there is also a qualification. You don't just simply obey your parents for the sake of obeying your parents. The qualification is in the Lord. There are parents that command their children to do things that are absolutely contrary to the will of God. They'll have parents who will tell their children, just go shoplift those things for us because you're cute, you're a kid, they're not going to punish you. We obey unless it's contrary to what God commands. Because our obedience isn't ultimately just to our parents. Our obedience is ultimately to the Lord. He loves you and He cares for you. He desires you to submit to Him. He desires for each one of us to obey the Lord. To obey Him first and foremost. And And the motivation for our kids is there at the end of verse 1-2. For this is right. For this is right. And he goes on and he quotes the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother. And he even makes a distinction. This is the first commandment with a promise. And what is that promise? That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Paul is telling our children and telling us, you know what? Don't just obey your parents because they're your parents. Don't just obey them because, well, they tell you. But obey them because God has encouraged each one of us to live in this way. Now, there's something really interesting here about this passage I want to share with you. It comes from John Calvin in his commentary. Calvin has asked the question, well, why did Paul start out with obedience first and then honor? Why didn't he start with honor and then obedience? And I thought Calvin's answer was really a great answer. Calvin said that it is because obedience is the real evidence of honor. Because it is possible to obey a parent without honoring them. I can prove that. I don't want you to see a raise of hands, but I'd be curious how many of us have ever obeyed our parents reluctantly and went, all right, I'm going to do this only because you're telling me to. You see, that's obeying without honor. Honor is more than just simply, honor is the way we thank them and respect them and speak well of them and pray for them and love them and forgive them. Kids, you understand, we as parents make mistakes all the time. So we need forgiveness too. Because we're sinners. We need the saving grace of Jesus Christ just as much as anyone else. And so when we honor our father and mother, we're speaking not just honor. Honor isn't just simply obeying them and doing whatever they tell me to do, but to be thankful for them. To respect them. To speak well of them. To pray for them. To love them. To forgive them. But there's something to be said for us adults too. There's no escape clause to this, is there? It doesn't say, well, this commandment expires on your 21st birthday. It doesn't say this commandment is null and void once you have your own family and you become the parents. There's something very challenging about honoring your father and mother, regardless of the age or the stage of life. Whether we're children, teenagers, whether we're adults, or even whether we're approaching elderly age. We're still called to honor our father and mother. Now that may look different. It may look different depending on our age, but there's still something about being thankful for them and loving them, praying for them, respecting them, speaking well for them, and forgiving them. I know for me personally, I know I haven't always honored my father and mother. I know that. It's something I too need forgiveness for. I'm fairly confident many of us here also need that forgiveness too. And then he says, then there's the promise that we honor, not only because it's right, because God gives us this commandment with a promise. That doesn't mean that we're going to live a long life if we obey, necessarily. Doesn't mean that our lives will, this promise for Israel and during the time giving of the Ten Commandments was to live in the promised land. We're of course longing for a different promised land, aren't we? Longing for glory. But there is something well about this commandment. Because you see, brothers and sisters, when we live in faithfulness to God's word, especially in our familial relationships, then we're going to realize that God's promises are true. God's blessings are real. And as we learn to love and trust and obey, as we begin with our parents, we'll recognize how we can love and trust and obey our God and the other commandments as well. We'll learn to be teachable. Some of us need to be taught that, don't we? We need to be taught to be teachable. We need to learn to walk in wisdom. We need to be willing to listen to advice, to respect others, to see beyond our circumstances, to see the big picture. So children, there are ways to obey our children. The command is to obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, regardless of where, how big, how small or how big our children are in this room. We need to honor them and obey them as long as they too are obeying God. That's the directions to our children. That leads us to the second point we want to look at today, and that is to our fathers. Verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, some of us might have looked at that and said, wait a minute here. I thought you said this was to parents. Why does it say to fathers? Why is Paul addressing specifically here fathers? Well, if we take what was said in verse 2 about honoring your father and your mother, we can imply in this passage, when it talks about fathers in verse 4, that it's also implying mothers. It's implying both parents, and that we are commanded to obey and honor them. But there's a reason why fathers are mentioned. It's the same reason why it's similar to the reason why we gave why husbands should love their wives back in verse 25. Look at chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Why is fathers mentioned? Is because fathers are the heads of the home. Yep, I'm going to say that one more time because there might be a dad here who needs to hear that. Fathers are the head of the home. They're responsible. They're the ones that lead spiritually as well as physically. Fathers, as one commentator said, fathers can either make or break their children. They can either make or break their children. It doesn't take much to see proof of that, does it? Because we have so many children today who don't know what it's like to be loved by a heavenly father because their earthly father had abused them. Because their earthly father had just simply ditched the family and have gone on and one of those deadbeat dads. Fathers can make or break his children. Fathers make or break the family. And so here fathers are addressed directly, and they include those mothers as well as part of that partnership in parenting. So let's look at verse 4. What does it say? Verse 4 says, fathers, here's the negative aspect of this of Paul's command. The negative aspect. Do not provoke your children to anger. The negative aspect. Don't provoke your children. Don't discourage them. Don't demean them. Don't destroy them. As you look at these, as you look at verse 5 through 22 all the way to chapter 6 through 9, fathers are the only ones to be addressed in the negative first. It's interesting. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Often what happens is that is a result of fathers desiring to master their children, to dominate their family, to control all the aspects of it. And that can exasperate our children. For those in discussions we've had, you probably know the terminology, the helicopter parent, right? The helicopter parent, the parent's always swirling around and you're nearby and always trying to, you know, pluck our children from disaster in the nick of time. You know, we're helicopter parents. Well, now the terminology is no longer helicopter parents. Now we have a new, stronger terminology. It's called the lawnmower parent. The lawnmower parent just simply shoves and pushes and just mows everything over so that their kids don't ever have to deal with the problem. So that the kids never have to face a situation that they have to make the decision. Ultimately, it's the parents that are ultimately just mowing and everything down for their children. That exasperates them. They don't learn anything. And I can tell you just from a personal experience, there have been times where Corey and I have had to take a step back and go, okay, we're going to let them go. We're going to let them make that decision. We'll offer them advice, but there are times where we can't mow our kids' lives. That often happens with fathers who simply desire to master and control everything. Maybe you've met those parents. I know I have met parents like that. They know they have everything under control. You see, fathers are called to lead, not to dominate, to oversee and direct the upbringing of their children. But see, part of that leading is loving. And that's where I think I believe many of our families, why our families fall apart in so many ways, because we confuse those two, or we separate those two. We don't see that part of leading our family is because we love our families. Yes, we want what is best. Sure, we want to see them grow up and have life better than we do, but we're not in control. God is. So we can easily get frustrated. We too can get exasperated as we see our kids' patterns of sin, as we see the immaturity in them. We get frustrated as parents because we too struggle with that. We too want the control, and we don't trust in God enough. Notice it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, because that's what happens. Instead of being driven to our knees to pray for our children, to pray for our families, we are driven to be angry, to be controlling, to be demanding, to be harsh. We provoke our children by having unrealistic or impossible expectations of them, especially on our young ones that they're just too young to be able to meet. We provoke our children when we get angry and we overreact to their disobedience. We exasperate our children when we're unpredictable, that we allow whatever is allowed on Monday is okay on Tuesday, and then we disallow it again on Wednesday. And it all depends on our mood or our inclination. We exasperate our children when we're indifferent to them. We exasperate our children when we demonstrate we have a favorite. We exasperate them when our children hear our sinful words. And they think that we think less of them. When we exasperate our children, we their trust is eroded. It makes it harder for them to honor and obey. We create a toxic family situation when we exasperate our children. We bring them to anger. That's why it's so important, fathers, parents, to confess our sins. Yes, to even utter those words, "I'm sorry," to our children. Because we have to confess our own sins even before we deal with our children's anger with us. We're going to address that, but we need to calm down. We need to calm the situation. We need to set the example of confession and reconciliation. It's not going to be easy. It takes a lot of humility and trust in the Lord, but isn't that what we as parents want to teach our children? To be humble and to trust in the Lord? Don't we want to model to them what it's like to be a sinner living by God's grace alone? What it means to trust in God's promises? That's the negative. Don't provoke your children to anger. But notice the positive. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up as uniquely created in God's image. If there's anything that we have learned for us who are parents here of multiple children here, what we have learned is there's not a one-size-fits-all, is there? Boy, it would be really easy if they were all cookie-cutter kids, right? They're not. We need to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We need to nurture them and nourish them spiritually. Now notice the positive here. Bring them up. Raise them up. And notice here the words, discipline and instruction. First of all, training or discipline. That idea of that instruction through word and example. This word is focused on skills as well as knowledge. Focused on life as well as learning. It's focused on modeling and mentoring that we're called to do as parents. Do our kids know what it looks like to live a Christian life? You know what they say. Children will learn much more by watching than they do by listening to us. Our children are going to learn to pray when we pray. Our children are going to learn to be kind and forgive when we do the same. Our children are going to learn the importance of worship as they see us and join us in worship. Training and disciplining, modeling and mentoring what it means to live a Christian life. Parents, that's what we're called to do. Notice secondly, too, is not only the discipline, but also instruction. You could say that this word focuses more on that transformation of behavior. How is our children's behavior transformed? It's transformed as they know the truth, as they learn about God, as they learn about His ways, as they learn about Christ, as they learn about salvation, because you see, they need basic Bible knowledge, they need the theology, they need the understanding of the Christian life so they can have a proper Christian worldview. We need to teach them regularly and faithfully in all these areas. And for many of us, that means we have learning to do too. But what's one of the best ways to learn something? Is to teach it. To bring up the discipline and instruction of the Lord. To know the Lord. To love the Lord. To follow the Lord. And to recognize that we as parents who naturally want to control everything, to mow that lawn, to be that lawnmower parent, we naturally want them to be saved, but we cannot save them. But God can use us as instruments. And to encourage each and every one of us in this is that it is never too late. It's never too late. God can save his people. It's not, if you don't, you know, if we think about these instructions to parents, we might think in the opposite. We might go, well, wait a minute here. My kid now is 21. My kid now has a family of his own. My kid is living his own life. There's nothing more I can do. And I know there are families here who are struggling with that. They recognize their kids aren't walking with the Lord. Let me encourage you by simply saying this. Is that you are called as parents to model and mentor your children, to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell them what it means to follow the Lord, and pray that God would change their hearts, that God would save them, that God would teach them to walk with the Lord. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Such simple directions as we first read it, but are they far more challenging than what we anticipate? I can't think of anything more rewarding or more challenging than the family, than being in a marriage, to parent our children. The reality is that nothing tests our faith or exposes our sin or humbles our pride or develops our dependence on God more than our families. But I pray that we would understand our roles and understand our responsibilities, to recognize our duties and our obligations. But that only gets us so far, doesn't it? Because ultimately, whether we're a wife here, or whether we are a husband, or whether we are a child, or whether we are a parent, each and every one of us ultimately needs the Lord. To not trust in a program, to not trust in certain principles, to not trust in priorities, to not trust in TV, to not trust our school systems, to not trust the self-help books. No, ultimately, if we want to be good parents and good spouses and have a good family, we, each one of us, needs the Lord Jesus Christ. To seek him in his word, to pray, to worship, the fellowship. Sinclair Ferguson, in his commentary on Ephesians, says something rather profound. He says, we have one opportunity for each child. One opportunity. So let's show them God's grace. Let's show them Christ Jesus. Not just for one day, but day by day. Not just for a brief period of time, but week to week and year to year. Because it's only in Christ Jesus can we be saved. The family is under attack. Parents divorce, marriages are destroyed, and families dissolve. But may we be those godly parents. And may our children be raised to know the Lord, to love the Lord, to trust in him. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Oh, Lord, forgive us for the sins of our marriages, for the sins of our families, for the times that we as children have rebelled against our parents, that we have obeyed without truly honoring them, that we have done things that were contrary to your word. We've simply obeyed the parents without thinking upon obeying our parents in the Lord. Lord, forgive us for the sins of our childhood. But Lord, forgive us for our sins of being parents too. Of how we've provoked our children to anger, how we have frustrated them and exasperated them. And for some of us, we're in the midst of it right now. But Lord, help us to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, in the feared admonition of the Lord. To know that to seek to your wisdom. To seek your knowledge. Oh Lord, we pray that you would renew us as our families. Lord, renew us and draw us closer to you. Help us to do all things in accordance to your word. We pray this all in Jesus' name, and let us say together, Amen.